like building the business, competing in powerlifting, like that shit felt easy compared to this. Like it wasn't easy, obviously. Like it was hard, you know, but in comparison to this, because I've been so long a certain way for so long, controlling to feel safe. You know, and like you remember, I'd ring you in tears. Like you remember everything that happened, obviously, which won't go into all the details, but like it was traumatic for me. Yeah. Like, but on the other side, I'm so grateful it happened because like Craig and I are in such a different space. Mm. I'm so much more relaxed.
Welcome to The Body Never Lies. I'm your host, Leela Lutz. Each week, myself and experts from around the world help you uncover the secret ways your body communicates with you to empower you in your own individual health journey.
We've all been there, scrolling through Instagram, seeing seemingly perfect lives and bodies and wondered, how do they do that? Despite her amazing success and her flawless physique, Kitty has faced her own struggles with body image, control and finding balance in her life. Kitty's openness and vulnerability in this conversation are a powerful reminder that no one has it all figured out, no matter how perfect their Instagram feed may seem. So often we look at the lives of others and make assumptions, but the reality is we're all human, we all have our own struggles and challenges, and no matter how successful or put together we may appear. So tune in and hear from my dear, dear friend, Kitty Bloomfield, and her confessions of what she's been struggling with. Today I've got my beautiful friend Kitty Bloomfield with me today.
Oh, hi Kitty. We're like, shit, we better hit record. We're just having a good old yarn.
The problem is when you're like besties in real life, when you're like, oh, let's just have a catch up. Because as you guys might know, Kitty now lives in Dubai and I'm in Sydney. So we can't actually see each other. We can't even talk as much as we used to because of the time difference.
Yeah. It's a bit hard because like when I want to talk, Leela's like, no, I'm doing, you know, Shanti's dinner and shit. It's like, you know, the witching hour.
Yeah, it's the kid wrong hour. Time. Great. I know. But we made time today because I really wanted to get Kitty on the show, guys, because I really want to ask her some deep questions because I know Kitty on a personal level and obviously we're not going to share everything because, you know, Kitty's allowed to have a personal life.
Poor Craig
life.
Needs some privacy. Yeah.
Or Craig needs
If it was
some
up
privacy.
To me, I'd be telling everything. But
But what I constantly hear, and this is what we're going to talk about today, what I constantly hear from my clients, my followers, if I talk about you in a reference, you know, because it's always helpful, right, to have a reference point. Like Kitty's this tall, she weighs this much, you know, she's got this much muscle mass and people can aim towards that. So like, you know, for instance, Kitty and I are the same height, everyone. So I constantly, in my weight loss journey, I think, oh, okay, well, I need to get to a certain weight close around Kitty's, for example. Like, and it's important to have those reference points. But the reference points we have to be careful of is like a lot of people look at you online and they think, Kitty, it's so easy for you. Like the food is so easy for you. The body is so easy for you. Like it's just so easy. Like, and I just want to remind everyone today with this interview, first of all, we all have parts in our lives that are easy and we all have parts in our life that are hard. Mm. And I'd want to start with too, like, because once upon a time, this wasn't easy for you. Hey, Kitty.
Yeah, you know, like it's interesting because, and we'll talk about this, like over the past 2 years, and Leela knows the story, like I've wrung her in tears, hey, in the last 2 years, just she's been with me the whole way and we won't talk about every detail, but like I've gone on this journey, this emotional journey with Greta because I went away on Survivor and then I came back and basically my personal life imploded and our business but it was actually really good. Like Craig and I needed, I think, to hit this point because there were these patterns that we were going through and things that we were doing. And I felt like I was living out of alignment. And, you know, I realized that, you know, I have this like A-type personality where it's like this striving, the constant striving, you know, the body, the business, want to get the husband. If I get this, I'll be happy, you know, constantly doing all of these. And look, obviously I do our businesses because I love them like as well. Like I love helping women and I love building Saturday with Emma. But I think a lot of the time I would just drive myself into the ground and push myself. And I think probably the reason why I didn't die is because obviously I nourish my body. I eat so much food. Like I'm really on point with a lot of the things that we talk about, but I would still push myself so hard. And I, you know, so masculine, you know, like really Greta and I talked about this. She's like, because of whatever's happened in your childhood, you know, you have this thing that you're not enough. Mm. So you're constantly trying to prove to yourself that you're enough by, you know, like growing your business. Not saying that you shouldn't want to grow your business, but from a place of alignment. So like now when I'm doing things, it's a lot more relaxed and I don't push myself as hard anymore and I rest more, you know, and I take action based on what like feels in alignment rather than what I should be doing to grow the business, just to grow the business, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we went on this massive journey and we talked about like the whole body stuff. She's like, look, you found a good, healthy way to, you know, heal your body and heal your health issues, but, you know, probably you never really looked at the emotional side of it, which I never did, you know. And so part of it too, I think, was like control. Like, you know, obviously I lift because I love it and I eat the food because I love it, but there was this all this emotional side which I never dug into. And, you know, I think for me, like working on this, like softening and letting go of control. So I would always need to be in control, because if I was in control, I was safe and I would try and control Craig and I would try and control every little aspect of our business. And, you know, I could never just think, like, relax and just be like, is it like, just, it's going to work out, Kitty. You know, like things are going to work out. You don't have to control every single aspect. And she said, look, don't, you know, don't feel bad. Like this is, you've developed this side of yourself and it's been extremely beneficial. Like you're driven, you know, you're hardworking, you're dedicated, but sometimes it would be to my detriment. You know, I'd push myself too far, or like, you know, I'm a real people pleaser. So like I still, you know, worry about what people think about me, you know, and if someone doesn't fucking message me back, and like it would show up in these patterns in our relationship, like with Craig. So like, for example, Craig, you know, he gets quite angry sometimes, not at me, but at things like, you know, like something will happen with the app and he'll have this fucking, not an explosion, but like he'll just get, and that, yeah. I get quite, it makes me feel quite anxious, and it's to do with like my dad and what would happen as a, not that my dad did anything to me, but my dad would sometimes, and I've noticed this pattern as I've gotten older, like if him and I would have a disagreement, he sort of energetically would withdraw. And then so I would be like, oh my God, you're not loving me anymore. So, you know, whenever Craig's reacting like this, I've learned to just, this isn't about me. Like, just let him have his fucking explosion. Go away and do something else. You don't need to try and fix it. You know, I would try and fix things as well. Yeah. Like he would be upset about something or venting to me, and I would go straight into fix it mode. I've got to fix it. I fucking control it. And now I've learned to just like relax and listen and hold space for him. And I don't need to fix him. I don't need to control him. I don't need to be his mother.
So like, interesting, isn't it? Because often our discomfort with a situation, we like to say it's the person or situation, but it's actually our inability to sit in that space with that person, because it triggers something in us from the past or like.
Totally.
It's crazy. Yeah,
it's so crazy. And like this, I feel like has been like building the business, competing in powerlifting, like that shit felt easy compared to this. Like it wasn't easy, obviously. Like it was hard, you know, but in comparison to this, because I've been so long, a certain way for so long, controlling to feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, and like you remember, I'd ring you in tears. Like you remember everything that happened, obviously, which won't go into all the details, but like it was traumatic for me. Yeah. Like, but on the other side, I'm so grateful it happened, because like Craig and I are in such a different space. Mm. I'm so much more relaxed. Like our business, where we totally just restructured our entire business, got rid of some people. You know, clean house, set it up how we wanted to set it up. You know, I'm working with some new marketing teams. I'm loving, you know, I'm just doing things that really feel in alignment. I still work hard and I'm disciplined.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, like for example, this week, every month I make just a month worth of reels, and I've got to do it in like 3 days because I got it from this new company that we're working with, which it actually works out really well. And so I am pretty busy for the next 3 days. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about doing that extra fucking content this week. It can just not happen. Like, whereas before I would run myself into the ground going, I have to create this recipe. I have to do this podcast. Whereas now I'm like, okay, what's the most important thing that you need to do? Just get the reels done. Everything else can just fall away to the side. And then, you know, like last night I finished early and Craig finished, not early, but like maybe 5. Yeah. And then, because before we just work into the night, we had sex. It was great. You know, like, not everybody's so about my sex life, but we just did connected, had some dinner together, you know, just slowing down, still being focused, but slowing down and just relaxing and just sort of believing that there's like some, something like a higher power than myself and knowing that what's happening is happening for me.
Yeah.
It's happening for me, do you know? Like, it's honestly been so life-changing working with Greta. You know, I also had a lot of stuff around sex too. Like, I don't know if people want to talk about it. I mean, you'll be fine, but like, I'm pretty open.
Yeah.
You know, I found it really difficult to just express myself in the bedroom. Like, I was always in my head, always. And like, I couldn't even make noise. Like, I was really quiet. And going through this whole process, because I think finally I'm like softening and relaxing. Like, I found that in the bedroom, I'm just more relaxed and out of my head, and I'm able to express myself without feeling ashamed or, yeah, it's really interesting. Like, it's so, yeah, it's like Greta's like, well, you're cultivating the feminine, because you've got both in you, feminine and masculine, but now you're just cultivating, you're finding that balance between the two.
Yeah.
You know, and just being a little bit more relaxed and not having to control everything. Like, for example, like we moved over to Dubai. I've lived here before, so I know what it's like. And we're sort of like, you know, I don't know if we love it here. Like, maybe we'll go to Thailand at the end of the lease because we know some people that move to Thailand and keep the businesses here. But usually I'd be like, as soon as I think about something like this, I'd be straight onto it going, okay, let's go there. Let's organize this. Let's, you know, I'd be just pushing, pushing, pushing. Mm-hmm. But I've just been able to sit back and go, you know what? Let's just see what happens. Like, we'll go out and look at Arabian ranches. That's like a big, because we want to move into a bigger place. Yeah, we'll go to Thailand for a week. You know, well, let's just see how it feels and we'll know what the right thing is in the right amount of time. I don't have to do anything right now.
Yeah.
So like, that's the best way I can describe it, of just letting go of some of the control.
I always find it interesting when you talk about your past, right? So you like dieted like crazy. Like, oh my God, when you said the other day, like, we're the same height, right, everybody? And when Kitty said, how low, small did you get?
54 kilos.
I thought I was small, dude.
I know, it's crazy.
I don't even know how you got that small. The only time I got that little 54 kilos was when I was really sick. I'd had surgery. I was like in a mess. Like, I couldn't eat because I was so stressed. So I can't even imagine purposefully getting that small. So
I know.
But I feel like with clients, because we've seen the same sort of client where we have to bring them back to eating more food, they take like a really long time to get over that in their head. But I feel like you just went, I'm done, I'm going from one to the other.
Which I did. And when I met Emma, I went, because that's my personality, you know, it's like extreme. So I met Emma and Craig and I was like, I got up to like 75 kilos and I'm like 68 kilos now. I just went all in, did the powerlifting, ate a fuck ton of food. I put on lots of muscle, but I also put on a fair bit of body fat too. But in the powerlifting community, it's like obviously the focus is on being strong, not so much being lean. So I think I was just didn't give it a shit, but you know, probably I put on too much body fat, but that's just what I'm like. Like, I just go all in with everything extreme, but yeah, sorry, I don't know what we were talking about. What tangent
no, it was
we were
just, but it's just an interesting, like, yeah, and that's the thing I think people don't hear is that you did get up to 75 kilos, which is a lot of body fat for your height.
I was like 30 plus body fat, 30%, I reckon, over 30%, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and that's what happens, everyone listening, why all these people in the pro-metabolic community are putting away. It's not because carbs are bad.
I didn't track my food.
Because you go all in and go hard. Yeah. Right, so you did it too. You should post more about that, actually. I find that's really interesting about you, right? And I find this really interesting because I used to work specifically with type A personalities, right? Like, that was my jam. I ran this program called the Executive Athlete, and it was all people who were high-end C-suite. And so when I met you, you're like, and my husband was like this too, everyone. He's like this too.
Super we love Sean.
Sensible, yeah. When the four of us get together, it's like Sean and Kitty hang out and Craig and I hang out and we just watch them be really intense together. But this is the thing with A-type personalities. It is, from the outside, everything just looks like super successful. It's like you don't see them for 3 weeks or 4 weeks and you're like, oh my God, you've had a total transformation and you've done something that would take me a year, 2 years to do, right? And I say this to every time I can't do something, I just ask Sean to help me and it gets done. And like, it's just like, so far, what do you want done? Done. But the flip side of that is, and this is what people don't see, because you don't post everything on the gram. It's the inability to just chill out to relax, to enjoy something like singing a song or dancing And this is what I really want to talk to you about today, because you're here doing all the right things, right? You're doing the food, you're doing the steps, you're doing the logging, you're doing like everything. You're doing it all.
Yeah, on paper, I'm doing it perfectly.
But you couldn't sleep. There's times when you can't sleep.
Well, that's you saw that too when I was going through all that emotional dysregulation. Ooh. I was like in a really bad place emotionally, but I still ate, still did food. I never sleep. Like when I'm emotionally dysregulated, like I obsess about something or something stresses me out, even if I eat the same fucking food, the same, and this is why I've really benefited from the coaching with Greta, is like learning to process the emotions and let them go through me instead of like I would try and push them away. Like I've never cried so much, Leela, now since I've met her. It's good though, you know, and I think it just shows it's like you can be doing everything right from like tracking the food, doing all that sort of stuff. But if you're emotionally dysregulated or you've got other like stress in your life, it can really affect your body. Mm. And like the other thing too, like when we went through that tough time, you know, last year, the other way that it shows up in my body is I get rashes like on the insides of my legs. Oh, so sleep. And like when I really, it would flare up. And then as soon as the stress goes away, it's gone within like a day. Like it's incredible. But back to the relaxing thing too. So like Greta and I, one thing she's told me, and I've been much better at it now, is like, I want you to have an hour of like kitty soul time a day. And that could be anything. She's like, you don't even have to fucking do anything. Like you could go watch like Gossip Girl if you want for an hour, like, or cook. Cause I really enjoy cooking, or you cook or go for a walk or read your book. It doesn't you don't have to be productive all the time. Mm. And I've got a lot better now at just, you know, like doing as much work, like doing the work, but then stopping and actually having this time to just relax. Mm-hmm. And that has been hard for me because, you know, I've just pushed my whole life, being productive, do. But because I was like not wanting to face this stuff, like in the last 2 years, I've been able to work through so much stuff. And I say to Greta, I'm like, fuck, it feels like it's taken so long. She's like, Kitty, like what you've achieved in 2 years is like what some people wouldn't even get through in a lifetime. Like she's like, it's actually really, she's like, I've been doing this for 15 years, you know? So she's like, I know you have this thing about.
You're like, just got to make sure, Kitty's just making sure she's achieved enough with her emotional coach. Like she's made enough progress. See, what are you listening to?
That's what she says to me too. She's like, listen, this isn't a degree. It's an ongoing thing that you will go through. Like she's like, obviously it's much easier now. Like I feel like, you know, during that time last year, you remember I'd ring you, like it was in the dark. I was in the fucking dark. It was bad. You know, I thought Craig and I weren't going to get married. I thought our whole business was going to fall apart. You know, like it was really, my whole life was going to change. But, and you remember I had to make some really like tough decisions and speak my truth and not people please anymore. Mm. But now that I'm out the other side of it, I'm like, oh, it's actually fun working with Greta now. And I can realize that when things are happening and why I'm getting triggered, and I can choose differently, and I can choose to rest, and I can choose to not get triggered and tell myself a different story. And, you know, like I've committed to every fucking day I do the 15 minutes of meditation. Some days I'm good at it. Some days like I'm relaxed. Exactly. And Greta's like, listen, that's normal. Like, it's like, she's like, you don't go into your strength training session, hit PBs every time, do you?
No.
I'm like, no. And she says, but do you still go back and train? I'm like, yes. So she's like, you need to do this for long enough. So like you say, the training nutrition is easy for me now because I've done it long enough that it is who I am. So she's like, I want you to become the person that's the meditator that, you know, because I don't really like enjoy journaling that much. And she said to me, like, this is what I think you should do with the journaling. Cause she said, this is what works for me. So I just write down like love, life, relationship, three things that I'm like positive for, or I want to, or positive, or I'm grateful for, or that I want to like manifest in the diary every day. So I do the meditation and sometimes I don't feel like doing it. Sometimes I sit there with the meditation. I'm like, my mind, and I have to just really like, just I imagine different things, like because I listen to rain. The rain's really good for me, but I have to like clear my mind. But I just keep thinking about her saying, going to me, you know, like, you know how easy it is for you to do the food and the training? This is, but how long did it take you?
No.
10 fucking years, you know? So like this is something that you have to work at as well. And slowly I'm getting better. Like I feel more relaxed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I post a lot about it on Instagram, and this lady messaged me and she's like, you know, I've followed you for years and I can see the change in you. And she just follows me on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. I was like, fuck yeah, it's working. you know, like you just have that bit of positive reinforcement.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously, I'm still not there or perfect, but there is no fucking perfect. But I feel a lot better and I feel, you know, like when you can just relax and like, you know, another exercise she made me do, and sorry, I keep jumping around, is she's like, who is the woman, like what are the values of the woman that you want to become? So I did this values exercise and she's like, show some radical values, and she wanted me to pick the top three, that there was like probably 12, and it was heart, connection, and what was the other one? Heart, connection, and compassion. So like every time something happens with Craig or I or something else happens that triggers me, I always just go back to the values and think about like how I want to live. And that really helps me as well. And it's really interesting because she, I don't know if anyone, you know, Abraham Hicks, do you know any of his work? Like, so she really loves him and that Abraham, what are their names? The lady that, and I can't remember their names anyway. And she talks a lot about like when you're like operating at this high vibrational level and then you attract all of this good stuff into your life. Like your thoughts control your emotions and your emotions control your like how you vibrate. And it is so interesting. Like when I do all of the things that she says and I practice the stuff, it's like this good shit just happens. Like, you know, Emma and I just got on a call with this, I won't say who it is, but she's a very well-known surfer in the States. And she wants to collaborate with us and build this course. And I'm like, what a fucking awesome opportunity because she's amazing. And I'm like, how great. You know, Saturay's growing. Like we've just changed over the marketing and challenge that we're running just has felt so smooth and the clients have been amazing. And I've had like 8 bloody sales calls booking my diary just booked in. Like just effort. It's been like no effort, you know? And it's so interesting when I stop pushing.
So interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, so hard and trying to control everything and just go, just act in alignment, kitty. Like what feels good to you? Like what is the life that you want to live and what actually makes you happy and do the things that makes you happy? And then it just flows. And I'm like, the more and more I do it, and that's why I promote her so much on Instagram because like my sister's worked with her, changed my sister. Oh, my sister's got cancer. She's changed my sister's life. 2 of our coaches worked with her. Craig's worked with her. I've referred so many people and they all say the same thing. And I feel like this is like the such a missing piece for so many women, especially in their 40s, because they hit their 40s and they're like, fucking, what am I doing with my life?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like I've given all of this to like my kids, my husband, you know, am I doing something that I love? I hate my fucking body. I feel like in the bedroom again, like I feel like the sex stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of women would relate to that too, because we're so rigid and hard and we're controlling and it's like, you just can't relax. I don't know. Because I share about this in my program. Yeah. We did a call with Greta and the women loved it. They loved it. They were like, so I don't know. I just feel like a lot of women would relate to this.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of women are afraid of it too. And I think like you control, like I've definitely have elements of control in my life for sure, because control makes you feel safe.
Yes.
That's why we all do it. Like, yeah, if you don't like what's happening, the first thing you think of is like, well, I'll just control it and I'll fix it. Another one, I'll just fix it or I'll do it. You know, how many women listening to this go, well, the house won't be clean the way I want it to be, so I'll just do it. And then I'll have no life because I'm always cleaning the house, you know, like, and if we don't let go of control, we're just constantly, it makes me feel stressed just thinking about it actually. It's so interesting. Because when you think of just how you feel, when I think of like just trying to control everything, I can feel my nervous system getting wound up. I can feel really tight. And then it's the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. Like when you're trying to, you're eating all these carbs to try and calm your nervous system. Right? And you're like, I've eaten all these fucking carbs and I'm still not calm. Whatever, and it happens with clients all the time. And this is the thing you have to be careful of, right? Because I do really focus on logging and data because it's an insight, a way to see. But if you're not careful, you can just focus on that and go, well, yeah, well, I'm just going to eat the same thing every day and I'm going to do this and everything's going to be so perfect and so, and you put all your energy into that and then you forget that you're a whole person. You're not just a food log and a mouth and a stomach and an, you know, coming in and out and muscles that you take to the gym. Like, you're an emotional being, right? And you're in a person who wants things. Like, and this is the thing I see with you, Kitty, like, because I know you so deeply now, like, yes, you call yourself a people pleaser, but on the outside it's like, oh, Kitty's like the friend you can always count on, right? And I because I'm like an aware person, I know that Kitty's a people pleaser. I won't ask unless I really, really know, like, need her help for something, right? That's something everyone should take note of. If you have a friend who's a people pleaser, you shouldn't ask them unless you really need the help. But you're just such a champion of women. Like, you just, I know you and Libby had a falling out years and years ago, and like, just the way you got over it when I was like, oh no, but I'm really good friends with Libby, and you were like, well, let's all just be really good friends. And like, you're just this amazing person. So when I like step back and look at you from a coaching perspective, like, as I put my coach hat on and look at you, I go, well, Kitty's actually just got this. She's this really, this person who just loves connection, and she just needs to let go of all the control to let it be. And you've just like totally changed as a person.
I have changed. I'm really, I said to Craig today, I was like, I'm actually really proud of us.
Like, I'm so proud of you guys too. Obviously Sean's been in on the whole thing of what's happened, and
of course
we both have. Yeah. I think we both have that kind of relationship. You tell me, I'm going to tell Sean. Yeah. Sorry.
So of course he's your husband. I mean, yeah, of course I don't mind.
We're really connected, but the whole thing is like, Sean and I've been championing Kitty and Craig from the side and just going, you guys are amazing. Like, what you've, the depths of what you went through together. And this is the thing, if you really want your relationship to be better, you have to work on yourself as a person.
Oh, my God, Leela. Oh, my God. That is, do you know, I had this revelation, because it's so interesting. Like, Craig, Greta said to me and Craig, you and Kitty attracted each other from a wounded place.
Mm.
Like, but you attracted each other so you could evolve. And so you can either evolve and grow together or leave each other. But you'll still attract the same shit.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting. Like, I had this revelation that, you know, I had this thing that I can't be this soft feminine woman if Craig doesn't step up and be the masculine man that I need him to be. But when I stopped focusing on what Craig needed to do and start focusing on myself and loving him, because he's going through his own shit and working on himself, and he had the same thing about me. Oh, I can't be that masculine man because Kitty's too dominant and masculine. Yeah. And, you know, like, we had this thing about each other.
Yeah.
But then when we stopped focusing on what the other person was doing and started doing our own internal work, that's when it all started to change. And, like, now our relationship's so much better. Like, yeah, I feel so happy. Like, and excited. And I feel excited about the work with Greta still and continue on this journey of sexual exploration of with myself. You know, because I feel like for so long I've been like this. And I, you know, when I was younger, I would drink and take heaps of drugs and have sex with all these men because I was just like looking for validation. Mm. And, you know, I just, yeah, it's exciting. And I sort of think like, oh, imagine what else we can do and achieve because we're so in alignment now. And, you know, it just feels better and it's flowing better and just enjoying life.
I haven't spoken to Craig much in the last while because since you guys moved and stuff, we used to always chat. But with the time difference, I haven't spoken to him much. But I can I just say that because he's working with one of my clients at the moment and the change is phenomenal and she's just bloody raving about how good he is. And he's always been good because I've always referred people to you guys. But I just like... I feel like from the outside, like he's got more patience and he's got a deeper connection and an intelligence about him that's just gone to a whole new level. Like, and I think that when you do this work on yourself, it just like emanates, like it just goes everywhere, you know, like, and your business gets better, your clients get better. So it's so interesting when you're like, oh, you're driving and pushing and doing all the things to be so successful, and you were, but now you're doing it in a different way with less push.
Less pushing, less controlling.
And more surrender, and it's actually more successful.
Yeah, well, it is becoming, because like we basically just completely changed our model, and now we've spent fucking hundreds of thousands of dollars on this ad. But now we're building a more freedom-based business, I guess you'd call it, and that we're working smarter. You know, we're slowly building it up, and we're building up this group coaching. And every time we do a challenge, it's getting better. And we just spend another fucking 40 grand on the app to improve more stuff. But like, it's nearly to where we want it, and how we're doing things. It just, and the team's good. Like we lean the team right down. You know, everyone's just working in their zone of genius. Like they've got a lot of autonomy. It's just Craig's about to launch a new business. So that's exciting. I won't spoil the tell everyone what it is. I'll let him launch it. But that's like, I'm really excited for him. And he's got his own thing to work on that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, that's important too.
So like I've got Saturday, he'll have this other business. So, you know, it's just, yeah, but look, I still have some shit, you know, like I said about the body image, and sometimes I get like, if people don't message
me back.
That's
so interesting to me. I always wonder, like, because obviously I've got like still got weight to lose, and I was talking about it with a client who's become a really good friend. She's got weight to lose, and we were like, do you reckon we'll get to our goal weight and we'll just be happy? And it's such an interesting concept, right? Or will we just want more? Or will we look in the mirror and go, oh, but now I'm, you know, mid-40s and I've got this droopy face or whatever the hell, you know? Do we just constantly look? So because I look at you, and I was just saying to Kitty before, like when I watch one of her reels or Libby's or Amy's, I have to like watch it once to get over the hotness, and then I can watch it again. Just hear what you're saying. This is the same thing I do to my husband when he talks to me. I'm like, hang on, I couldn't concentrate on what you were saying because you're so hot. I got to just go back.
I just love you.
I'm a very visual person.
If you've been enjoying all the episodes of The Body Never Lies, but you're wondering, Leela, where do I even start with implementing all these great things that I'm learning? Well, I've created something just for you, and I'm so passionate about you getting access to it that I am giving it away for free. The Body Never Lies Insights course helps women over 35 who are sick of all the tests with no answers uncover the root cause of their long list of unexplained symptoms with a scientifically proven self-assessment tool. Over 4 live workshops, I'm going to take you through the assessment that I take every single client through to help them establish where they are truly at with their health. The assessment includes all the things that their doctor and quite a lot of other practitioners, to be honest, have never asked them, and will leave you feeling 100% certain that no, it is not all in your head. Your body never lies. Whether you've been eating clean and self-researching for years, maybe you're sick of giving up all of the different food groups, maybe you've tried a few pro-metabolic approaches and it's made you worse, or even if you've just arrived at a crossroads of knowing you need to do something different for your health and you don't know where to start, this assessment tool is for you. If you want to get this for free, and I probably won't do this again, then head over to thebodyneverlies.com.au and register now. We are starting on January 15, so you can make 2025 your best year yet. Of course, places are limited, so make sure you get in because it is first in, best dressed.
Is this so funny though? Because we always say how beautiful, like Craig, you know, always says he thinks that you're really beautiful.
Oh, so
on the
lovely.
Inside and out, you know, like, so but lovely. It's, I think no matter what, like, but oh, look, I can only speak for myself because they're probably, I mean, you need, would have to ask Libby and Amy about that, how they feel about their own bodies. I can't speak for them,
no.
But I still have, there are times, you know, when I still think, oh, I should be a bit leaner, or, you know, I have this story about like, and it's just a dumb story I tell myself, like, because I really love being strong. I really enjoy like lifting and being strong and eating a lot of food. But as a result, I'm pretty muscular. And sometimes I'm like, nah, I'm too muscular. I'm not feminine enough. Like that's just a dumb story. That's just
not feminine enough for who?
That's what I mean. But it is, again, it's just dumb
story. But that's
story
what I always say to clients, like for who? Yeah.
But yeah, I should just be, Greta's like, living, like, if you love to be strong,
yeah,
like, and you train and you're happy and you're eating all the food, like, just live in alignment with, be happy. Yeah, but anyway, I guess the point I'm trying to make is I still sometimes look at my body and have these thoughts that, oh, it's not, oh, it's too muscular, or I'm not lean enough. Or it's not like I think about this all the time. It's not, and I never go and do anything and be like, oh God, I need to go and restrict my calories, but I still have the thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, like what she's taught me is I just tap on it and just write, you know, even though I'm having these thoughts that I'm a bit too fat or I'm not lean enough, I still love, you know, accept myself and do the tapping and just, you know, like do, you know, she's given me things to do, but yeah, I
what
still.
What were you thinking when you, because remember when you were trying to get pregnant, you got up to like 25% body fat then?
Yeah, I did. But you know what? I think it was like, I actually just think I was too stressed. Like all I was eating
so much
food.
Like when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, when you put that 25% on.
Yeah. That was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was hard. Because I've, and also too, like Greta and I've talked about this a lot. She's like, you've built your entire business around your body. So it's part of your identity, you know? And I think it's for me, like we talk about this too, like it's the Goldilocks spot because, you know, it's like I do lift and eat well because I like the feeling and I love training and I love being active and I love eating the food, you know, so it's just, she's like, find the Goldilocks spot, which I think that I do most of the time. But then again, like I said, I still sometimes have these thoughts, you know, or like Craig and I would be having, and this is, I feel like I'm definitely better now and maybe this was probably something that I might have struggled with as well with the sex thing. And I'm sure other women too, like, oh, dude, my stomach looks a bit fat in this position or like, you know, like just dumb shit like that. Or like, I don't look very pretty when I orgasm or like, you know, just.
Yeah.
Just, but Greta's like, you know, porn is horrible for this because these women have these perfect bodies with big tits, perfect makeup. It's just a show. It's a performance. That's not real, you know. So it sets us up with these like unrealistic expectations. But it's, you know, now that I'm softening and I'm able to like get out of my head and just get more into my body. And she calls it embodiment, you know, get it. Cause I'm just like for so long, it's so much in my head, It's like, just relax, get into your body. You know, I'm still working on it still, you know, but I feel like I've come a long way and I feel a lot more relaxed and happy and excited, you know, and like just doing the things that feel good, you know. Like, yeah. But, yeah, I still have the thoughts sometimes. But, again, like I can only speak for myself. Like other women, I don't know, Amy and Libby might not feel like that. I don't know. They might look at, I mean, they should look at their bodies and think they're fucking amazing because they are.
Yeah, yeah. But then sure they also might. Have a little bit of it, you know. Like we all like, and sometimes when you have a big change as well, like I said to a girlfriend on the weekend, I think I've finally come to accept because if anyone listening doesn't know, but I've had my boobs have gotten so big. I used to be a C cup.
They're so big.
I used to be a C cup and now they're an F cup. And I kind of I hide them all the time because I just hate them so much. And I don't know what it is, but like in the last few months, I finally just accepted that's it. That's how they are and that's how they're going to be. And I don't know what it is, and I've just finally embraced it, but it's taken me years to get over it. Like, that's just what they are. And actually gone, oh, you know what, I'm going to get some things that actually show them off a bit. And and now I'm actually, like, kind of, like, in love with them because I've lost 20 kilos and they have not gotten smaller.
They haven't.
They're still massive. They have not because I keep thinking, oh, well, I'll lose weight and they'll just get smaller. Yeah. So now I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to have to accept that they might. I've still got, you know, another 10 kilos I want to lose. They might just.
I love those big hooters. Every time she sends me photos, I'm like, look at those big things.
They are enormous. So, but I've just come to accept that.
Sure,
and part of it. And yeah, well, I know he was never a big booby man. I don't know. I think Sean's so nice to me. He just says, but he
just loves all of you.
He just loves all of me. Yeah. I know he likes my hair straight and I don't have straight hair, so he just has to stick it up his jumper. But I'm not going to go and get my hair blow over all the tops. You know, there's certain things that I prefer, but I think, it's really interesting. And someone said that to me the other day, what you just said. I just identify with the way that I look. And someone said that to me the other day. I said, wow, that's a really powerful thought, isn't it? And not in a great way, because it keeps you stuck. Because if your identity is wrapped up in that, you know, and our bodies change, right? Like mine's changed massively. And honestly, unless I get a boob reduction, I'm never going to look like I did before. And I don't know, that's not really me. I just actually feel like you just have to, you have to embrace the change, right? We're all going to get old.
Totally, totally. And like
we're
you said,
we're going to get old.
Yeah, look the best for our age, I think. Yeah. Like, you know, because I think nothing wrong with wanting to, you know, look the best as you age, I think. But then, you know, like then there's like fucking I had Botox. I went back in the gym days. I got Botox and it's like, fuck, Botox, plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Like how far do you take it? You know what I mean? Like, no, again, like I'm not having nothing against anyone who wants to go get Botox. Yeah. But I just knew I was just, why are you doing it, kiddie?
I think there's a time and a place, and I want to say that, you know, because I've got grey hair and I dye my hair, right? There's a time and a place for you to make changes to your physical appearance. I think it's just
Of course, and looking after yourself. Like, I want to look good for my age. I want to look good. Yeah, I want people to look at me and be like, fuck, you look good for 40.
Yeah, exactly. We're older than 40 now, kitty.
But I think it's how far you take it. Like if you're going and getting a fuck ton of Botox getting plastic surgery.
Well,
and,
it's
like,
also
you just
like
ask
if
yourself,
you know, if you ever read that book, Cybernetics, Psycho-Cybernetics, which is a really good book, actually, and it's all about this plastic surgeon, he noticed was that he'd do all this work on people and they still didn't like themselves. No matter what happened, they just didn't like themselves, right? And that's the thing, and this is the journey that you're going on, right? It's like, you on Instagram, you look hot, you know, and the training's easy and the food's easy, but you're actually on a journey doing internal work that we can't see. And we're all going to have to do that at some point. In our life, you know, and even when you are as hot as you are right now, you're still having to, you know, look in the mirror and go, no, but this is who I am and I accept myself and I love myself. And, you know, it's a never ending journey, right?
Totally. Yeah, that's what Greta said. She's like, it's even her, like what I've seen her experience and go through and grow in the last 2 years is amazing. Like, yeah, and she shares a lot of stuff with me and I really admire her and just have so much respect for her and what she does.
Yeah.
And she's just the most beautiful person. You know, I can't, like she's literally, like it's like Emma changed my life. You know, Emma introduced me to Ray Pete's work and Craig to the strength. They set me on a different path and now that I've met Greta, I feel like it's the same thing and that's why I talk about her all the time. And you know, if any woman is listening to this and struggling, like it's one of the best investments I've ever made money-wise.
Oh, yeah. I think there's like certain things that you do, right? Like I did have a session with Greta and it was amazing. And I've invested so much money in coaching, like in emotional coaching, and it's just transformative. Like you can't, I guess then this is the big reason why I wanted you guys to hear Kitty talk about this a bit today, because you can't avoid this stuff. You can't.
It just shows up in these areas.
And
I see
it with so many women. Mm. They just like, it's almost like a dead giveaway because they do find the flogging and everything so easy. And then they get 6 months in, like they're hitting their macros, all their nutrients and everything. Mm. And they're like, they haven't changed emotionally though. And they haven't got to a point where they can actually just go on a holiday and not log or, you know, there's some element of control. Like I said to Libby today, I sent her a message. I said, you're looking so good. She goes, thanks. Do you know what? I actually haven't logged for ages. I haven't, like, she's just not doing any of that stuff. And this obviously takes time, guys. Like you can't just log for 5 minutes and then.
That's right. Yeah. She's done it for years. Years.
But at some point, and I like doing this as well, is at some point, certain parts of the year just go, oh, you know what? I'm just not going to log. I'm not going to like track my training massively. I'm just going to go to the gym and have a bit of fun. But you also accept that you're just probably just going to stay the same. You're not going to. But well, also, I think that's important to just go, well, I'm just staying the same. Like there's nothing wrong with just being who you are and not always having to achieve something.
That is so true. And, you know, like when you get to like an advanced level, like Libby and me, like I still track my training, but it's not like I make any massive progress anymore. Like I'm not fucking, you know, anywhere near my best squat, bench and deadlifts that I hit in powerlifting, and I'll never be there again because I never want to train to that level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I still follow a program because I just enjoy having a program, but it's like some days I'll make progress in exercises, but they're never to what I used to do. But I just don't care. I just like the training. You know, I just like following a training program. And, you know, with the food too, like I have a bit of a hybrid model. Like I'll still do a bit of a meal plan during the week and plan what I'm going to have because we're quite busy.
Yeah.
So like, you know, this week running the challenge, doing all the reels. So I just eat the same breakfast, lunch and dinner for five. But then on the weekends I don't track.
Yeah.
And I just like Friday night we're going out for dinner. So it's a bit of a hybrid model that works for me because I like to just have the – and if I don't eat like – if I eat under 2,600 calories, I can't sleep. I don't have any energy and it's easy for me to undereat, I think, just because of how I've been my whole life. So, you know, like I know what I'm having for breakfast, lunch this week is this like Greek chicken and I've just got rice cooked up and I have an orange with it. I have yogurt and a banana. And then our dinners is this Greek bowls and then ice cream for dessert. So I just eat the same thing Monday to a Friday, go out for dinner Friday night and then I just eat whatever on the weekend. But I still follow the, you know, and you would do this too. It's like you still follow the principles. I like have protein and carbs every meal.
Yeah.
I always eat breakfast. Like it, even though I'm not tracking, I'm following principles to make sure I eat enough and fuel my body and, you know, 100%. Like, and I always say that to clients. I'm like, you don't have to track forever.
You
might find a hybrid model like me that you like, or you might just completely not track your food, but you're still conscious.
Yeah.
You're making conscious decisions. It's eating. I think it's eating consciously, right? Mm. Like, yeah.
Well, I see. I still need to push my food up, so I have to pre-plan my week or I won't eat enough. I just won't.
Exactly.
And it's like die-hard, like habit of mine as well. It's like not eating enough. And when I'm working and I'm really busy, it'll be really bad.
Yeah.
So I need to know that the food is there waiting for me, and I just have to eat all of that food, and then I'll hit my calories for the day as well. Whereas on the weekend, I feel like because I'm not working and I'm more relaxed, I actually make a conscious effort to eat so I don't have to plan.
Yes.
So it's like the other way around. Yeah. So like we can just go, Sean can go, oh, I feel like getting this for lunch. You want to get that? And I'll just go, yeah. And I can, because the biggest thing for me is not eating enough carbs. I can eyeball, like I know how much rice I need, I know how much, and that's from doing it for a really long time, whereas I still can't during the week. I'll be like, oh, fuck, I'm too busy. There's not enough potatoes, but I'm too busy. I'll just go off. It's like, no. And also, like, I don't know how many women are like this, but I've really noticed with Sean too, because I eat so much food now that he just can't comprehend that I need that much food. It'd be different for Craig because he tracks and because sometimes he'll make me food and I love him to death. Because he doesn't track, he'll send me those potatoes and I'm like, well, where are the rest of my potatoes? And he's like, how can you need so much more potatoes? And I'm like, he just can't get it through his head because he's not hungry or whatever. And I don't track his food because he doesn't want to track. Like, you know, don't coach your husband. But sometimes I eat more than him.
Yeah, how good.
And he just can't get it in his head around it. He's just like, you know, so I have to prepare, especially if he's cooking, because otherwise he won't cook me enough food either. You know, so for tracking for me is not about control. It's about actually
eating enough bloody food. I'm the same as you because I'm like you, like we were always small and restricting.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm the same. I've got to like, it's the carbs as well. So it's more like it's not a control thing. It's just, it's the Goldilocks spot.
It's as Greta says to me. It's exactly it. And spot. Also I know too. Because when I eat with other people, like all of my girlfriends in real life, obviously apart from year four, the year three, they don't eat enough food.
Yeah.
So if
I go to
someone's house to dinner, there's never enough to eat. So I always have food to eat. Enough carbs.
I know, they never make enough bloody carbs. It's so true.
We went to this restaurant. It was so funny. Us four couples, well, Amy didn't bring her partner, but the rest of us all, and there were no carbs that weren't fried in crap. And okay. So Craig goes, oh, can we order some potato? And he sees this mashed potato on the menu and he's like, yeah, mashed potato for all of us, thanks. And the guy brings it out and it's literally like a quarter of a cup of mashed potato for all of us to share. Okay. And all of our faces just went.
I know.
But this is how the world works. So when I think about that, I think I have to pre-plan my food because I'm fighting against, but you're going against the grain. Like what you're doing is so abnormal
I know. And eating so much.
Yeah. So you have to be really, really prepared. And you guys listening, when you guys get up to like where we are, 2,500+ calories, you'll be like, you just feel like you're fighting for your guts all the time.
Totally. When I was with mum and dad, they were like, we just can't believe how much you eat. You're always hungry.
Yeah.
But I'm like, mum, I'm so active.
Says that to me as well.
Yeah. It's so crazy. And I think, you know, like you made this comment about the training. It's like once you've trained, you know, like Libby, Amy and me, we've trained high level. Like I competed in powerlifting. Libby did CrossFit. You know, Amy did Olympic lifting. Like we've trained hard, heavy, eaten a lot of food for a lot of years. It's like once you've built that foundation, you can train less. You can, you don't like the structure. You're like, Craig's like to me because he laughs at me because I always change my program all the time. And because I was like, oh, fuck, I trained with this chick, Ruby, on Instagram. I follow her and I saw her at the gym and she's so lovely. And we're like, oh, let's do a training session together. Fucking hell, she does so much volume. I did a session. I was fucked the next day. I was like so sore. And I hadn't low bar back squatted because I haven't low bar back squatted for ages. And so we squatted and it was amazing. I still did two sets of eight at 100 kilos, like relatively wasn't that hard, which is pretty cool. Yeah. But then we did so much and I even did less sets than her, but more volume than I was used to. Anyway, I just enjoyed the squat so much. I was like, I need to put them back in my program. So I came home, I showed Craig my program and he's like, and I was like, I'll do this. And he goes, well, let's see how long this lasts. And then before you fucking change it again, but it just doesn't matter. Like, because I've just done it for so long. Because I could just go in and do whenever fucking exercise, pick a weight, push it hard to failure, you know, like listen to my body. Like, it's, but once you've built this foundation, you don't have to do as much volume. Mm-hmm. You don't have to train as, like, it's just easier. But it's the years of work that I've done to get, same with Libby. Like, Libby's done years of work, Amy's done years of work. You know, it takes hard work to build that muscle and that, you know, like base overnight. No.
Come out with an extra 5. I'm trying to put on 2 kilos of muscle now. And I've reached that point where it's now like hard. Whereas before it was really easy. But it's now it's like, oh my God.
You're hitting your threshold with your lifts. Now you're really making real progress.
But it's also like, you know, when you first start, when you're freaking a new client and they haven't trained and they haven't eaten carbs for a long time, you start getting them to lift and you start giving them carbs. They put on muscle really quickly.
Yeah.
And then you get to a point where you're up getting to the upper echelon. Like I think even Libby was like, it took her a whole year to put on another kilo or something like that. Like you're really grinding it out at that point. And then you have to like focus on your food so much.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, right? Because then in your position, right? So if you're always about the control and the achievement, you're going to hit a ceiling at some point.
What's this? There's this chick. Is it Teal Swan? Do you know her? Teal Swan. She's this like... my sister sent me this reel of hers the other day. Sorry, I'm just closing these notifications. And it was about like, not saying that you shouldn't have goals and things that you work towards, but if you, because as soon as you get there, there's going to be another thing.
Yeah.
So like, can you just be happy being, you know, and that's what I feel like I've struggled. I mean, you've known me for a long time. I'm a pretty happy person. Hey, like I would say I'm a pretty positive, happy person. But now I just think I'm more happy. Like I do I have things that I'm working towards, but I'm just happy being now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I do have desires and I put it in like Greta calls the vortex, you know, you put it into the vortex, but you're just still happy living day to day doing, you know, like I really, like I'm never going to fucking be hitting massive PBs anymore in any of my lists, but I just don't care because I just like lifting.
Yeah.
I just love going into the gym and like, eating lots of food and pushing the sets really hard and then I feel so good at the end of it. Like it's just fun.
Yeah.
You know, I just enjoy the process of lifting and being strong and being active. I love being active too, like getting out in the sun. I actually did some – I felt so inspired by Libby and Amy. So I've been doing some sprints.
Oh,
so
good.
The first time I – because I haven't done it for so long and I just do it when I've done two sessions. Because I just do it when I feel good. Because some weeks I'm push hard in my I'm tired, you know, and I'm like, I just, and so in the days that I've felt like, fuck yeah, I feel good, I've got lots of energy, and, you know, I'm nearly up to like, I've got the goal of getting up to running at 20 on the treadmill.
Yeah.
So I think I've done 3 sessions, one every second week.
Yeah.
And I was like, how incredible that I haven't sprinted for years, yet being strong, being strong, like transfers over into other sports. Like I can run fast.
Yeah.
And I don't sprint.
100%. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like, it's pretty cool, you know, like strength is
so good.
So valuable, you
it's
know?
So good. Yeah,
so
I had a little
anyway.
Sprint the other day, which was pretty funny.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I always think I'm like, fuck, I'm going to face planet on the treadmill. I'm like so scared that I'm going to, like, the first time I did it, so I started at 16.5 and I added 5 every time. And then the next session I started at 17, but I got up to like, I think, 19 or 19.5. So I'm so close to like hitting my, and that's only after 3 sessions. Of doing it. And I only did it 5 times.
The carryover
times,
to
seconds.
Different things is like amazing, isn't it? It is. You feel just really strong and like amazing. I just need to get a new bra if I'm going to do that.
You know, your tits, I'm like, they'll probably knock you out. But it's just, you know, like strength is such a, you know, like I just lift and then I've done those sprints and I do every week I do a zone 2 cardio session. I really enjoy that. It helps. Like I love the feeling of sweating. And like, you know, I went on fucking Survivor. And we had to do heaps of crazy hardcore shit.
We haven't talked about your Survivor. Yeah. Like, I was watching you in some of the challenges and I was like, oh, man, you looked good. You were jacked.
I was fucked. I was so hungry, you know. I lost like 7 kilos. I came out at, I went in at 69 and came out at 62.
Oh, my God.
No period for 12 weeks.
Wow. No fucked. Period for 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. Wow, your body really goes hard on the... Like, you know, it's pretty, it gets stressed out pretty quickly. Were other girls in periods still?
Well, yeah, because they were so much bigger than I was.
Yeah.
They had so much fat stores, you know.
Yeah.
So only the ones that had more weight to carry, like Kirby, and Kirby's probably suffers from estrogen dominance. Like, her and I chatted a lot about nutrition.
Yeah.
And she had really heavy periods she had a period that was really heavy. On the island. So I got mine first and in the second, it was the first week or the second week. And then I didn't get it again for 12 weeks.
Oh my God.
It took like, so I didn't get it at all when I was on there, which is quite good actually, because it was shit. You have no showers.
Oh yeah.
So you're using like pads and tampons. You had to use tampons and like, it was disgusting. It was actually disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So
and
sort
what
of,
about
I mean,
your
I wasn't
pooing?
Happy.
Because you went, every time I go away,
I was constipated.
Yeah.
It was so bad. So I was constipated to start with, and then in the end, because you're just eating all these beans, you were just oh my God, like it was the worst. So I didn't get it. I didn't get my period at all when I was. So I was there for nearly 8 weeks in total, and then it took another like 4 or 5 weeks to come back once I started eating, which was pretty good, I guess. You know, and I didn't take me that long to get back up to my weight and put the muscle back on. Only probably like 12 weeks.
Yeah, that's
which
pretty
is pretty
good.
Amazing.
Once you've got it, when you rebuild it, it's one thing, and that's why we all bang on guys about putting on muscle as you know before you do a massive weight loss, or you know, because it's so much easier to put the muscle back on once you've built it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so
right.
It's just
so it's like really Survivor was a big thing to you, right? Because it
was
interesting,
life changing.
Right? It extracted you out of your life and all of your control, like in the most dramatic way.
Totally. You couldn't have, you didn't, you were told when you could eat.
What made
you
want to go on that bloody show? I was like, I cannot, because I was like, that'd be like Kitty's worst nightmare. She's not going to be able to track. Ooh. She's not going to be able to eat. She's not going to be able to.
Someone messaged me on Instagram. They approached me and said, would I like to audition for it? And I was like, no, fuck it. Why not? Like, this could be a fun opportunity. Like, something, and I'm so glad that I did, not for the exposure or anything, but because of what happened when I came back with Craig and I and the business. And I'm like, we would have never made of all these changes if it was the catalyst for everything that happened in our personal life and our business life. So I'm so glad that I went on it, because it made me realize when I came back, I was like, there are some things that I don't want to do anymore. Like,
it's also like, I think, because you guys are so enmeshed together, right? Like, you were so enmeshed.
Yeah.
And like you said, you were blaming him for that. He was blaming you for that. Mm. Like, you were just like, you're like this little tornado, two little twisters just winding each other up, and massively high achieving, you know? So you're both just like, got to go and get and fix and sort and then you got extracted out of that, and all of a sudden you're on your own, both of you, and then you're just left with your thoughts. Like, you basically taken away everything that was stopping you from thinking and facing up to what you had to face.
Totally. And then it just all imploded when I got back.
Well, Well, they call that the reckoning, right?
Yeah. Do you know what that was? When it all went, when I went through it, I was really proud because there was a week where Craig moved out for a week. You moved, remember?
I remember. Yeah.
And during that whole process, I was actually proud of myself because not once did I go and like drink heavily or take drugs or do anything because that's what I would have done in the past. And I didn't try and control my body either. I just stuck to my normal food.
Yeah,
I made sure, because I made sure I ate. Yeah, I didn't use it as a, because before in the past, I would have been like, all right, that's it, diet. Control your body. You know, when he went the first, because I was just so, remember, like I just couldn't be alone.
Yeah,
I had this fear of being alone. And I remember the first.
Nearly every day.
Yeah, pretty much. And when that first date night that he left, I just remember just like exploding and crying. And like just like I hardly even slept the first night because I just – and then Greta was like, well done. You made it through a night.
Yeah.
And then I went to my friend's the second night, her birthday, and one of my mates who we used to party hard in the day, like back in the day, and I love him. He's the best. And to get in the cab with him and we go into my friend's birthday, he's like, oh, fucking let's get on it, kitty. Let's get a bag. Let's go crazy. And I was like, there was this part of me.
Yeah.
That thought about doing it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you just can't do it. You have to sit in this. Like you have to sit in, you have to prove to yourself that you can survive. And I know it sounds dramatic, but for me it was very real and very, you know, because I just couldn't be alone. And I managed to survive a whole week on my own and I didn't die and I didn't turn to drugs and I didn't turn to alcohol and I didn't starve myself. I just had to sit in it and feel the fucking discomfort.
Well, and I think like, you know, drugs sound really kind of out there for people. But if I talk about, you know, this kind of stuff with my clients, there's so many things that they use to fill that hole.
Yeah.
You know, it can be social media, binge watching, Netflix, shopping, you know, booking another holiday, booze, like this training, doing another diet. Like you say, it doesn't have to be a drug, but
that's
it's
extreme.
Basically anything that's
numbing.
Yeah, it just stops you from being with your thoughts.
Yeah.
And being with yourself.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Like we've all had something like I have to give myself little bands of Instagram. Like I think we all have something that's like means that you don't have to sit with yourself.
Totally.
You know? And even like this week, I've been on my own for a whole week and I purposefully wanted to get a heap of work done this week. But I was really sitting there thinking, oh my God, I remember when I was single and I used to just work all the time. And I said to everyone, oh, yeah, I'm really good at being alone. And I'm like, but I'm like so alone when I do that because I'm just like, I just work all the time. I need a reminder to stop and eat. I need a reminder to like go and do something fun by myself. Like I realized that I'm still out of balance in that aspect. Like I did go out with a friend in the middle of the week because it was really like I need to. Yeah, I think we all struggle with being alone in some way. Like we say we're good at being alone, like because I could be alone all week and do heaps of stuff. But that's the thing, right? I did heaps of stuff. I mean, I had to because I set a goal for my work. But, you know, how many of us can actually go alone, go and be alone, like and just sit? I remember I was on a boat. I was sitting somewhere and I was just staring at the trees and I just sat there and watched the leaves moved in the wind for ages and I thought, my God, I've done it.
Well done.
I've just sat here and I've just not done something, not looked at a book, not looked at a magazine, not reached for my phone, not like just actually just sat there and stared at these trees flapping in the wind. And then I was like, oh, my God. And I find that even with clients, right? I've got some clients that are like, what do you mean I have to walk 10,000 steps? What the fuck am I going to do while I'm walking? You know, and then like, oh, yeah, well, I go for a walk and I call a friend or I go for a walk and I listen to a podcast. And obviously that's fine. But I really am conscious of my clients when they say, they tell me all these things that they did when they were walking.
Yeah, I totally get that too. And I used to be the same. Like I do so much shit. Like reply to messages. And now sometimes I'll listen to music and then I try and just go and not do anything. When I walk, I just try and like look out and just look at, you know, walking in Dubai Marina and I just think about life and like, you know, I try to do nothing. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Well, I listen to classical music. Because even like music, and then sometimes just have silence.
Yeah.
And then it's just stopping and looking. Because I'm not as A type as you are, but I can be. And you're just like, I'm walking and I've got 10 minutes, so I'll just quickly get all this stuff done off my phone. But yeah, like walking and just actually breathing and just staring at nothing. I quite often put my headphones in for the whole walk and I'll come back and I haven't listened to anything. I've actually go to put them in just because it's more automatic to put them in. And then I realize I don't want to listen to anything. I don't want to listen to anything. I don't want to think about anything. I don't want to talk to anyone.
You just want to slow down.
Slow down.
Yeah. And yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And just you have to really, and I was watching myself this week thinking, well, I'm by myself. Just putting my hands back. My podcast producer told me to stop moving away from the microphone. Because make her job easy.
He can't hear you. I'm like, leap forward.
I can't move. I just noticed myself go into that old pattern of like, oh, because I've taken the week to work, but I'm walking. I could just check a whole bunch of stuff off my to-do list. It's like, no, Lily, you don't have to work every single bloody second that your family's away.
Totally.
Old habits die hard, man.
Oh, I know. Totally. I feel you, sister.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is really good. Like, this has been so good. Because what I've heard is, like, because I always say to clients, like, you've got, a wheel of life, right? And one piece of that wheel, like, say, out of 8 pieces, 12 pieces, however you divide it up, is health.
Yes.
So you can't just put all your eggs in one basket. You'll never be happy because it'll just be so out of balance. You can have the best body, the best diet, the best, but you won't be happy.
You won't be, exactly, totally. Yeah.
So worked on relationships, you worked on what the fuck is Kitty into? I remember having this conversation with you years ago. So I was like, oh, yeah, so what do you like outside of training? And you were like, what do you mean? do you sing? Like, what are your hobbies? And you looked at me like, I was from outside.
And you know what, to be honest, I still don't really have, because I think I went through this stage too going, oh, fuck, I need to do something for the sake of doing something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I've realized is, I really enjoy cooking.
You love cooking.
I really enjoy it. Yeah. Just making basics. I find it fun to make these, and I make, made your curry and then I made a reel with it. So, often I'll just, if I want to relax, I'll be like, look up a recipe and make it my own and make something. And I really, I've been reading a lot too, I really like reading books.
Yeah, yeah.
So just reading. And sometimes I'm like, I just do nothing.
Yeah, you're
sometimes
so
I just
good.
Watch Gossip
so
Girl for an hour.
From when I met you years ago, so different.
I've definitely evolved for sure. Gone through a lot of, oh my God, Lila, that was the hardest year of my life.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to get married, Craig and I.
I know. It was
I remember
intense,
like
everyone.
That day.
It was like a month before the wedding. And Kitty's like, I don't think we need to get married. And I'm like,
it was too late because we'd paid all the money. We couldn't cancel it.
And I was just saying, you got to just do what you're going to do. Like, it's money. It's just money. You know. I was really trying to be a neutral friend and not go.
Of course, of course. And I'm so glad that we kept going. You know,
glad you did too. I remember sitting, I wish I could get Craig on to do this, but I'm going to get a video of Craig.
Do one with Craig. Get it from a man's perspective.
We could actually. Yeah. But I'd love I was sitting in the back of the taxi with Craig and Amy. And you're in the front seat chatting your head off to the bloody Uber driver on the way to your wedding. And Craig's telling me the story of how Giddy organised the wedding. It is hilarious. He does the most hilarious impression of Kitty.
He's good impression of everyone.
I can't even talk. He does, but he was cracking me up. He was like, Kitty just organised our wedding the way she organises everything. She decided in 24 hours, it's done. The venue, the catering, it's done. She's just, if you want something done, Kitty will do it. She's like, just an intensity, full level. And it's like, his impression of
it
me
is
was
pretty
so funny.
And this is why I'm so amazed with this whole time thing that I'm just sitting back and Greta's like, wear it like a loose garment. You know, is what we put out to the universe is because we've been living right in the heart of Dubai. It's nice, and it's close to everything, but it's small.
Yeah.
And so what we truly want is just more space. So I'm like, all right, I'm putting it out to the universe. Could be Thailand, could be Arabian ranches. Who fucking knows? I'm just letting it happen rather than going, okay, We're going to take action because we've got ages. We've got till May. We can just see what happens. Go visit Thailand. Go visit Raven Ranches. See how we feel. You know, we've got time. So, yeah, that's pretty amazing that I'm not, like, just being like, all right, we're moving now. I'm breaking the fucking lease. You know, what I would have done in the past. But we have to wrap this up because I've got to get on the challenge.
I know, you've got to go. But this has, like, been amazing. Yeah. I really hope
this has
that
been
people
so good.
Listening can, like, get this insight because people – they always say to me, like, Kitty has it easy. And I think everyone has some things easy.
Yeah.
And it's like an onion, right? Like what I'm hearing from you is like you've gone through that and you get a good at something and that peels back a layer. And then it's like the universe says, well, now you're ready for this part that you need to work on. Yep. So I'm going to give that to you. And so you'll be 95 and you'll still be working on stuff because it doesn't ever stop. Like you're just getting that deeper layer. So like I really look forward to seeing, you know, where this goes next. And
well, me and you, we'll be doing podcasts in 10 years probably. We'll be in our 50s having a yarn. You'll have a grandkid eventually probably.
Oh my God, not when I'm 50.
You'll get married.
But we'll still be doing podcasts. 50, hopefully. If anyone wants to listen to us.
Let's hope you don't have a grandkid at 50. That would be probably a bit too early, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. But I'm so grateful you came on today and thanks for sharing and opening up with my audience.
I just love you.
I love you too, babe. I still haven't forgiven you for moving to Dubai, but I will.
I'm coming back. Don't worry. We want to come back to Australia. Like we're definitely not living here forever. Yeah. But thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for making the time, love.
I'm Leila Lutz, and you've been listening to The Body Never Lies. If you haven't yet, please go to your favorite podcast app and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. All the resources and references from this episode are waiting for you on my website, leilalutz.com. Just click on podcast and look for this episode. Now join me next week for another episode of The Body Never Lies. Thank you so much for listening.